الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Just a brief translation of these ayat of the Quran Sharif. Allah Ta'ala takes an oath of our nafs, our body, and how balanced Allah Ta'ala has made it. And then Allah Ta'ala says, we have put into this nafs of yours, into your body, evil desires also and good desires also. Successful is that person who has made the tazkiyah, who has warded off, remove all the evil, the desires, etc. And qad aflaha man zakkaha. And the person who did not do that, who did not ward off, who did not remove all this evil desires, etc., that person has been destroyed. Then there is more explanation in that. This is the beginning of our Islahi Jalsa, Jalsa of Tazkiyah, as we see on the notice boards, and as, alhamdulillah, great effort has been made by various brothers to inform the people of what this Tazkiyah is, what this Islah is, what this Jalsa is about, and to invite them also here for this Jalsa, which has started now, and will be till Sunday at Dhuhr time. So this is the Islahi Jalsa. With regard to that, a few definitions, because this is, we think it is something new, it is new to us, but this is from the time the Quran Sharif was revealed, and from the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this has been coming in the ummah all along. There hasn't been a gap anywhere. At any time, at places, there have been gaps. But time, it has been continuous all the time. So first of all, it is also called tasawwuf. Tasawwuf is an Arabic word. Many of us, we feel that perhaps this is an Indian origin thing. No, this is all Arabic from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the Quran. The word tasawwuf, as it is commonly known amongst people, this is from the Arabic word suf. And as it has been correctly advertised on the posters, Islahi Jalsa, Tazkiyah Jalsa, that means reformation, correction of oneself. And everything needs correction. Our bodies, if we are ill, it has to be corrected. We say we take medical treatment. There we call it a medical treatment. Our cars, you have a breakdown, you have to repair it. And even if it doesn't break down, you need regular maintenance. Like that, our gardens, our houses, whatever you can think of, needs regular maintenance, needs repairs, our bodies also. The physical side, we all understand, Muslim and non-Muslim alike, that if we have an ailment, we have cholesterol, we have high blood, we have sugar, whatever, it needs treatment. Like that, spiritually also, we need treatment. An example of that, one great Wali of Allah was undergoing the hospital treatment in Bombay. So the doctor asked him to sign a paper for an operation to be done. So he said, I will first refer this and take advice from my spiritual doctor. So the doctor got surprised. He said, I'm your doctor. Who is a spiritual doctor? And what is a spiritual doctor? So he said, bring all the doctors of the hospital together. He was like a VIP in the hospital, and I will explain to them. They arranged a meeting. Then he told them, amongst the other things, see, you people regularly take blood from us, and you test how much sugar there is, how much cholesterol there is, all that, various tests, so many tests. Today you go to a doctor specialist, it's only test on test. So then he said, now in that test, you check our cholesterol, sugar, etc., tell me, can you check how much of pride I have got in? Can you check how much of vanity to do things for show, for name, fame, how much have I got in? They say, no, that our blood won't show that. We won't be able to test that. He said, that's the work of a spiritual doctor. So this is also one aspect, a major aspect of our deen. If a person has got pride in him, all his amal, his actions are destroyed. If a person is doing his actions for name and fame, he's destroyed. And sometimes a person got sugar, he doesn't know I've got sugar. A person got cholesterol, he doesn't, that person is more dangerous. He's not taking any precaution. He's not taking any medication. He can get a heart attack anytime. So like that, if we got pride in us, if we are doing things for name and fame, that person is very dangerous. A person who knows, and then he takes some treatment, hopefully it will help him. That is normal procedure. It will hopefully help him. So this is what is this, the sawwaf, islahi jalsa, tazkiyah jalsa. It is all about this. To become a murid, generally that is also thought to be an Urdu word. It's connotated with Indian origin, whereas it's a 100% Arabic word. Those who are aware of Arabic language know that the root word, arada yurido, to make an intention. Murid is the isme fa'il of arada yurido. That is a person who has made an intention. What intention? Alladhina yuriduna wajhallah. They want to please Allah. That is a murid, a person, not a person who pledges himself, which we call bay'at, which is also an Arabic word from the Quran, that bay'atu alladhina yubay'unaka. In the Quran Sharif, all these words are. So bay'at is also an Arabic word. And what is the intention of a true murid? The pleasure of Allah. Not for name, fame, I became murid of so and so. Or not to remove our problems of dunya. I got health problems, I got financial problems. To remove my problems? No. But his intention, to please Allah. And Allah becomes pleased when we have purified ourselves spiritually. We have taken out our spiritual ailments. Then Allah becomes happy with that person. And that is all what this is. And in Urdu, for example, we say, Piri Muridi. Murid, I explained, is an Arabic word. Pir is just the translation of Sheikh. Sheikh in Arabic, there are various connotations to it. When a person, according to Arabic language, when a person reaches the age of 50, now he's called an old man, he's a sheikh. Otherwise, he can be a younger person, but who you respect. You have got respect for the person. So you call him a sheikh, even if he's a young person. Our ulama who graduate, perhaps they're 25, 30, we say sheikh. That is out of respect. And they have acquired that which a person will normally acquire at the age of 50, they got it at the age of 25 already. So that is also an Arabic word. There is only the translation, peer. Peer, literally in Urdu, means an old man. Sheikh means an old man. And that young man who is like an old man already, so much experience he has got, so much he can guide other people, so he's called a sheikh from young already, a peer. The word hadrat, that also many of us feel it's a Urdu word. It's a 100% Arabic word, which is used commonly amongst the Arabs still today. Hadratukum. Oh, my Hazrat. And what does it mean? Respect. And it means love and affiliation. Who you love, who you respect, you call that person Hadrat. And Hadrat Ji is also purely an Arabic word. The Ya at the end, Hadrat Ji. That at the end, that means my sheikh, more affiliation, more connotation of closeness to that person. So all these are the whole system and this whole thing which we call the tasawwuf, which we call the khanqa, that is the Arabic, the Urdu word of the Arabic word zawiya. Zawiya, and any person, if there are any of those old people who are living, will know just roughly about 50 years ago, the haram of Mecca in the basement was filled with zawiyas, khanqas, rooms. And people from around the world, people, great awliya, ahlullah, hid their rooms in there. Whether it was Indonesia, whether it was Malaysia, whether it was Jordan, whether it was Egypt, whether it was India, whether it was Pakistan, people for, and the Saudi government at that time made special facilities for them, gave them the visas for ibadat there, and facilitated and paid them also for their expenses for their day-to-day living, gave them money, and they stayed in the zawiyas, which was filled in the haram of Mecca. at that time. So this is nothing new, but it is what we are not used to. It has been removed from us. The enemy of Islam saw that this is a very strong means to bring the reality of deen into our lives. So they made ways and means with all their propaganda till today, how many things they are turning our minds away from. For example, today they are putting in our minds, jihad is an evil thing. It's not part of Islam. This somebody has brought into Islam. How many true things? The hijab of women and the segregation of men and women. How many people today, they say that no, in Islam there isn't anything like this. You can mix freely. So the enemy of Islam have seen what are the benefits of the righteous things, and they make propaganda to turn our minds against those things. Otherwise, this is also something which is a very major. That is one part. Hopefully, may I make dua, Allah gives me the tawfiq and gives you also the tawfiq that I can explain properly, you can understand properly, and that Allah puts on our tongues and in our ears and hearts that which is the right, and that we can accept it and see what is our benefit. Now this islah, this tazkiyah, has it got a place in Islam? Is it in Islam? And if it has, what is its position? How important is it? For first of all, whether it has got a place in Islam. The Quran Sharif has many ayat has explained the importance of it. Right in the first juz of the Quran, the dua of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, he makes dua to Allah Ta'ala that, oh Allah, Rabbana wab'ath fihim rasulam minhum. Oh Allah, send to them a rasul from amongst them, the people of Makkah Mukarramah, the Quraysh, send a rasul to them from amongst them. And then what will be the work of this rasul? Why? What is he going to do? His first and foremost work, yatlu alayhim ayatika, that he will recite the ayat of the Quran to the people. This is the one of the greatest form of tabligh, that the Quran Sharif by which people are invited towards Allah Ta'ala. So, and to read the Quran Sharif, it is absolutely essential that a person learns how to read the Quran. Without having learned, how can you recite Quran? Finally, you must recite the Quran, but you must learn it first. For that, our makatib, our primary madaris, which we call, where our children go and learn to read Quran Sharif. That was the first work of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to establish these madaris. And then the second, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ, to teach the kitab, kitabullah, and hikmah, the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To teach this is the work of the Darul Ulooms which are functioned. And the third work, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, to make tazkiyah of the people. So this was the primary duty of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do this tazkiyah. And every alim who is in the hadith is warathatul anbiya, an inheritor of the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. It is his work also. And a person, just like he cannot read Quran until he has learned how to read, a person cannot make tazkiyah until his tazkiyah is made. So first your own tazkiyah has to be made, then make the tazkiyah of other people also. This ayat that I have read now, that فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Undoubtedly that person has gained felicity, success of the highest level, who has made tazkiyah. So tazkiyah is mentioned here also. Then, how many other ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned the word tazkiyah. So this is from the Quran. In the hadith, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabiya Kareem, Huzur is also an Arabic word. It is also an Arabic word, used commonly in Urdu, but it's not an Urdu word, it's an Arabic word. So Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has clearly said, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مَعَدَنٌ, for everything there is a mine. You have a coal mine, gold mine, diamond mine, all types of mines we have. وَمَعَدَنُ التَّقْوَى, and the mine of taqwa, Qulubul Arifin is the hearts of those who have got the ma'rifat of Allah, recognition of Allah. So to acquire taqwa, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us where we will acquire. So the tasawwuf, islah, tazkiyah is an integral part of our deen. But before, because the enemy made such an effort that they put in our mind, this has got nothing to do with deen. This is the work of some people who are away, who are in darkness, who are in ignorance. They don't know anything about deen. So they brought this Sufi, this tasawwuf business. They brought this Piri Muridi business. But the correct way, ala minhaji Rasul, according to the sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it is a part of our deen. And what part does it play? How important is it? To explain this, for example, nobody can say, I only need eyes, I don't need a tongue. Nobody can say, I only need ears, I don't need a nose. Or brains, I don't need a heart. Or hands, I don't need legs. We all know we need everything. So like that, this is such an important part without which a person will say he's a little bit retarded if he hasn't got this in his life. He's got a deficiency in his life. So like physically we know, a person who can't walk properly, we say he's got a deficiency. We excuse him. A person who hasn't got tazkiyah in his life has got a deficiency in his life. Like we have a house. In the house, you can have the most beautiful mansion you build. But even a toilet, such a filthy, dirty place where you go and do your filth and dirt. But if that is not in your mansion, in your palace, that palace is incomplete. If you don't have a kitchen, it's incomplete. You don't have a dining room. You don't have a lounge. It's incomplete. Every part component must be there. There is the islah, tazkiyah is a very important component and part of deen. And it has to be in every person's life. Then your Islam, and as a Muslim, you will be complete. Otherwise, there is a deficiency. There is a shortage in your life. It has to be in every person. It is very, very important. So that is how important it is. A government, if somebody says we don't need education department, they're wasting their time. We all have to be in the military. We all have to be in the hospitals. Without education, how will that country function? If somebody says these traffic officers are wasting their time, in the hospital, how important it is to see to health care. And we don't need traffic officers. You won't be able to reach the hospital if there aren't traffic laws. And traffic laws are not fulfilled. If you say the people who are sitting with filling stations, they're just making money. They're sucking the people. They're not doing. And then you close up all the filling stations. How will the people travel for anything? Every part is absolutely necessary. The shoemaker is necessary. The watchmaker is necessary. The mechanic is necessary. Everyone. So every part of deen, every division of deen, whether it is our makatib, our darulums, the work of tabligh and da'wah, whether it is these khanqas which we call zawiyah, the tasawwuf, every part, our social welfare work to help out the poor and the needy, every aspect of deen is absolutely essential. So all this has to be there. And then, which part is more important? That is a discussion we should not fall into. That is a dangerous area, and we should not fall into that. Whether the makatib are more important, or tasawwuf is more important. Whether tabligh is more important, or darul ulums are more important. There is a dangerous area, and people like us, who lack so much of knowledge, and we lack respect, we can cause ourselves great harm if we fall into such discussions. If we talk a little bit lower of any department of deen, we have spoken against deen. And that is very dangerous for us. For us, we try and bring everything. We need carbohydrates in our body. We need proteins in our body. We need calcium in our body. We need magnesium in our body. Now, if somebody say we only need proteins, and carbohydrates just make you fat is a waste of time. No, if you don't have carbohydrates in the right proportion, you are a sick person. You need everything and you can't put one thing over the other. Everything is important. All this is absolutely essential and important. Now, the absolute necessity of the subject which we are discussing, That is tazkiyah. See, for example, if a person his whole life, he makes ibadat of Allah, 5 times salah, and he goes to for hajj and umrah, he fast, puasa in the month of Ramadan, regular bacha in the Quran, everything he's doing. But if he hasn't got sincerity, he's not doing it for Allah's pleasure, he's doing it to make himself happy, or he's making it to show people, you know, that is zero. There's no value to it. So how important isn't it that sincerity must first come into a person? If a person made ibadat with sincerity, he made a lot of ibadah of Allah Ta'ala, but that ibadah brought pride in him. I make tahajjud salah, I fast, puasa every Monday, Thursday, I'm a very pious person. If it has brought pride in a person, again he has fallen down. Shaitan has attacked him, and Shaitan succeeded in his attack on this person. So how important isn't it that pride must not come into us? We must have sincerity. That is the domain, the subject of Islam and Tasawwuf and Tazkiyah. That you do everything. Go for Hajj every year. Go for Umrah now and then. Make a lot of ibadah. Go in Jamaat. Do social welfare work. But make sure you got sincerity also. Make sure that pride doesn't come into you. That is what is discussed in Tasawwuf. If Tasawwuf is only dhikr, khaddad, and no islah, dhikr brings a lot of islah into a person. But it has to be with speaking to the people, the importance of sincerity also. The importance of being humble also. How many people have destroyed themselves with their anger? Anger, it comes into a person. But anger can be and must be controlled. It can be and it must be controlled. If a person doesn't control his anger, how many people gave talaq to their wives? And they crying their whole life. They loved the wife. But just at that moment of anger, they divorced her. Now your children are one side, you one side. All because you did not control your anger. This is what is tazkiyah, that we control our anger. A person has got lust. Every person has got lust. And it isn't that if I got lust, I'm destroyed. But this lust must be directed. The izala, to remove lust, is not required. Allah wants lust in our body. Imala is required. And these are all Arabic words. And imala means direct it in the right way. Take it away from other women who are not legal for you. Direct it to your wife who is legal for you. That is all. So that is what is this tasawwuf and this islah. That those call, you got anger, use it in the right way. Use it on the kuffar, on the non-believers. Don't go and take it out on your poor wife. Don't take it out on your small children. Don't take it out on your workers who you are paying and they subjected to you. Use it in the right place. So all this correction, so we can see how important this tasawwuf is. This islah is, and every person needs it. If we make our whole life ibadah, and we did not check whether I got ikhlas, like we don't check sugar, and you get a sugar attack. I was not aware, but at one time, one student of ours from the UK, he said that his brother has passed away, young man. How? Sugar attack. How you get a heart attack? Sugar attack. So if we get a pride attack, and we died with pride in us, if we had a show, vanity, sum'ah, wariya, to do things for name and fame, and we died with that attack, and remember also, physical ailments that we have, you got a heart problem, you got cancer, to take treatment is not farad. It's allowed, 100%. Sunnat it is that we take treatment, but it is not farad. But from spiritual ailments, you got pride in you. You believe that not only Allah does for you, but my job also does for me. Shirk you got in you. These treatments are farad ain on every individual. And our physical ailments, if we die, they come to an end. And we had spiritual ailments and we die, the repercussion, the evil of it starts in the qabr. The punishment and the evil of it starts in the qabr. So how important isn't it that we understand this and correct it? Where will we get this? This is what is the khanqa, the zawiya, that you go to those mashayikh who have been trained from their mashayikh and from them right up to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's one, so to say, third part of his whole mission was to correct the spiritual life of the people. Yatlu alayhim ayatika, one, yu'allimuhumul kitaba wal hikma, two, wa yuzakkihim, three. So it is one third of the work of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it has come from there till today. So that is where we will get for what this jalsa is kept from now onwards till Sunday, inshallah, an intensive seminar, an intensive conference, an intensive camp has been made to inform the people. So let us get informed. Attend here, listen, try and see. And Allah gave us all brains. If we think it is right, submit to it. Also make our tazkiyah. And if you think it is wrong, ask somebody, what is wrong with these people? Who are these people? What are they doing? What do they want to achieve? Then try and understand it. So this is where we will get it. Who will we get it from? The people that we will get it are those people who made effort on their own, made their tazkiyah. And by staying under mashayikh, they stayed with other people who were in this field. A doctor cannot become a doctor until he stays with other doctors. And a doctor, he becomes a doctor also. And he's in his theory, in his studies, he got distinctions. He got 100%, but he did not do housemanship. He did not do practicals. If there is law in a country and law is enforced in that country, you forget him being allowed to practice, he will be locked up in jail if he's practicing without having done housemanship. A doctor who is going to operate and he didn't learn practically how to operate, only from books he learned, and he keeps his textbooks and he wants to operate on a person, then what will happen to such a patient? More serious than that, wallah, more serious than that, are spiritual treatments. And whoever is doing a spiritual treatment and he didn't do practicals, he's causing more harm than what the doctor will cause on that patient. There only the patient will die. And whenever we are making a Jummah Bayan, for example, we are husband wife comes to us with their complaints, they're having differences, business partners are having problems, and we are advising, we're doing spiritual operations every time. And if we did not ourselves learn how to do spiritual treatment, how will we be able to treat that person correctly? So this is what is called this tasawwuf and this tazkiyah, that we bring these things into our lives. So just to summarize very briefly, at the beginning, I said this jalsa, this islahi jalsa we're having is for this purpose. I tried to explain that all the terms that we are using, though they might seem Indian, but they are all Arabic terms. And they have been brought into to us from here. All these terms, whether it's the tasawwuf, whether it's the tazkiyah, whether it's islah, whether it's the word hadrat, all these are Arabic words. And they have been brought to us. Then what is this tazkiyah? Try to explain that. That it is part of our deen. And an integral and very important part of our deen. The importance of it, try to explain. The field of the tasawwuf is our spiritual ailments, to remedy them. Like if we have pride in us, we have got anger in us, we got laziness in us, we're not getting up for subuh, we're not coming for subuh salah, we have got jealousy in our hearts. And this is with the field of this department of deen, to treat these spiritual ailments. And where will we get the importance? If we don't do this treatment, we will destroy ourselves spiritually. And those who do it, wallah, I say, you will be shocked that how your wife will love you and express her love for you. Amongst your friends, how amicably you'll stay and how everyone will want you. When a person becomes clean, everyone loves that person. When a person is dirty, even close people abhor you. A husband, a wife who doesn't worry about her dental cleanliness, hygiene, who doesn't bath and stay clean. She's your wife, but you feel you can't be close to her. When the dirtiness goes, you are embraced, your baby has messed.
Now the baby is dirty. You clean the baby, you hug the baby. You put perfume on that baby. You throw some powder on the baby. How you love. So this is the work, the result of the soul. That pure impurity and cleanliness and the scent and powder that is added. Allahu Akbar, that person becomes a beloved to the people of the world, Muslims and non-Muslims alike. Wallah, I say, and human beings and animals alike love such a Hadrat Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The world loved him and loves him. Only those who are really jealous and who have seen the truth but don't want to accept it, they will speak against. Otherwise, the character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a vivid exposition of beauty, of justice, of kindness, to imbibe those things. Where? This is the place, the Zawiya, what we call. Who? Those people who have trained themselves in this field. May Allah give us all tawfiq to attend regularly, try and bring as many people as possible, so that we can take advantage of this, benefit from it. We didn't have to go to it, it has come to us in Cape Town. When it is here, let us benefit fully. May Allah give us all tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
JazakAllah to Mawlana, inshallah, for the beautiful, inspiring talk. Make dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Mawlana his health and his strength, inshallah, to keep on inspiring all of us, inshallah. This was a special request to make dua for Sister Tahira Umar, the wife of Dr. Jameer Umar of Polokwane, Limpopo, has gone a transplant of her liver, inshallah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant a speedy recovery, inshallah, and shifa also, inshallah. Can we just ask the brothers to stand in fadli and to fill all the gaps? I'm sure the Jama'ah is going to be big today, so please just fill the gaps in public from the front row onwards. JazakAllah khair.
Ya Rasulullah. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah, الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون وصل على محمد كلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون أما بعد أيها الإخوة الأعزاء كما أنكم تعلمون أنه أتوا إليكم ضيوف الكرام من أماكن مختلفة من جنوب إفريقيا ومن الخارج وكثير منهم بل أكثرون منهم العلماء الراشدون الربانيون الحمد لله على ذلك لماذا أتوا إلينا لماذا أتوا إليكم أتوا إلينا وإليكم ليذكرونا أن نجاحنا وفلاحنا وفوزنا في امتثال أوامر الله سبحانه وتعالى واتباع سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وليذكرونا أن خسراننا وخيبتنا في معصية الله سبحانه وتعالى ومخالفة سنته صلى الله عليه وسلم وعدم اتباع طريق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فلماذا أتوا إلينا ليذكرونا بهذه الآيات الكريمة ومنها دعاء إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام وما هذا الدعاء إذ قال ربنا وبعث فيهم رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة ويعلمكم الكتاب والحكمة وأيضا ومنها قال قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى ومنها من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون وكذلك ليذكرونا بهذه الآية الكريمة من أعرض عن ذكري فإن له معيشة ضنكا ونحشره يوم القيامة ويوم القيامة أعمى وكذلك هؤلاء العلماء الربانيون أتوا إلينا حتى يذكرونا بهذا الحديث القدسي ما معناه أن الله سبحانه وتعالى يقول يا عبادي إني حرمت الظلم على نفسي وجعلته بينكم محرما ويا عبادي كلكم ضال إلا من هديته فاستهدوني أهدكم وأيضا قال يا عبادي كلكم جائع إلا من أطعمته فاستطعموني أطعمكم يا عبادي كلكم عار إلا من كسوته فاستكسوني يا عبادي إنكم تخطئون بالليل والنهار وأنا أغفر الذنوب جميعا فاستغفروني أغفر لكم وأيضا قال يا عبادي لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم كانوا على أتقى قلب رجل واحد منكم ما زاد ذلك في ملكي شيئا وإذا قال يا عبادي لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم كانوا على أفجر قلب رجل واحد منكم ما نقص ذلك من ملكي شيئا ويا عبادي لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم قاموا في سعيد فسألوني وأعطيت كل نفس مسألتها لا ينقص ذلك مما علمي إلا كما ينقص المطيل إذا ادخل البحر يا عبادي إنما هي أعمالكم أحصيها لكم فمن وجد خيرا فليحمد الله ومن وجد غير ذلك فلا يلومن إلا نفسه وإذا أيها الإخوة الأعزاء هؤلاء العلماء الربانيون اليوم هم يزوروننا ليذكرونا أن حياتنا في هذه الحياة الدنيا قصيرة جدا وأننا سوف نرجع إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى وأن الموت آتي يقينا الله سبحانه وتعالى يقول كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. أيها الإخوة الكرام، الحمد لله، ستكون في هذا المسجد ستكون هناك بيانات والمواعظ لثلاثة أيام، ونحن نرجو منكم أن تتصبروا معنا وأن تمكثوا معنا وأن تغتنموا هذه الفرصة العظيمة حتى تكونوا أنتم ونحن من الفائزين والناجحين في الدنيا وفي الآخرة. والله سبحانه وتعالى يقول وبقوله يهتدي المهتدون وإذا قرئ القرآن فاستمعوا له وأنصتوا لعلكم ترحمون. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. وأيضا قال واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا. بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك، وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله عنه، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر رضي الله عنه، وأصدقهم حي عن عثمان رضي الله عنه، وأفضلهم علي رضي الله عنه، وفاطمة سيدة النساء أهل الجنة رضي الله تعالى عنها، والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة رضي الله تعالى عنهما، وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله. اللهم اغفر للعباس ولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا. الله في أصحابي لا تتخذهم من بعد غرضا، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم، وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم، وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم لعن الكفرة الذين يصدون عن سبيلك ويكذبون رسلك ويقاتلون أولياءك. اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم وزلزل أقدامهم وأنزل بهم باسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين. اللهم إنا نجعلك في نحور الأعداء والجبابرة. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم وادعوه يستجيب لكم، ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأعز وأجل وأهم وأتم وأكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
Stand on yourselves, please, brothers. MashaAllah. صفوفكم سيدنا صفيس برادرز. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم
غير المغضوب عليهم ولا سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي العظيم. سبحان ربي العظيم. سبحان ربي العظيم. سبحان ربي العظيم. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي العظيم. سبحان ربي الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى. سبحان ربي الأعلى. سبحان ربي الأعلى. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم
ثم إن علينا حسابهم. الله أكبر.
سبحان ربي العظيم. سبحان ربي العظيم.
سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر.
سبحان ربي العظيم. سبحان ربي العظيم. سبحان ربي العظيم.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
تحيات الله والصلوات والطيبات والسلام عليك. الله وبركاته والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وصل على محمد وعلى
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
الله أكبر. الله استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله العظيم. لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وعلى أصحاب سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اغفر لأمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم أصلح وتجاوز. اللهم أصلح وتجاوز أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغارا. اللهم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا وأخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إثما كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا. أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.